Beware, listeners, there be dragons here. This week on the Storm of Spoilers off-season tour, what began as a riff on the current release, The Great Wall, stumbles into general dragonry once we learn that The Great Wall might not actually have any dragons in it. Luckily, literature and pop culture from our past has had great dragons, both friendly and not, to discuss.
A creature has been awakened that has lain dormant for millions of years. A species older than the dinosaurs and more terrifying than anything we could have imagined. Highly evolved.
They have great vision in the day. They have even better vision at night.
Extremely intelligent.
Alright, he's playing hide and seek.
More like cat and mouse.
Unbelievably powerful.
Two glands in the mouth secrete separate chemicals.
Combine an exhalation, nitrile napalm.
Good luck.
Hello and welcome to the Storm of Spoilers off-season tour. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and a notable dragon from my past is the one that appeared at the climax at the Conan the Barbarian live show in Universal Studios Hollywood in the 80s.
Oh, wow. I am Joanna Robinson, and a notable dragon from my past is King Kazool from the Dealing with Dragons Enchanted Forest Chronicles books.
And I'm Neil Miller, and because I'm a normal person, I guess, minus Falcor the Luck Dragon from the Neverending Story. I don't have any obscure dragons.
Like, how dare you weirdify us on this safe space podcast where we talk about weird things we like? Remember how your Christmas thing choice were like things that I had never heard of?
So. That's true. I will say it's almost as if choosing Falcor made me feel uninspiring, but everybody loves Falcor. Yeah. Falcor is the shit. So there, I did it.
Yeah, that's a fair opinion to have here on Storm of Spoilers, where this week we will be discussing dragons in media and maybe in general. Where this episode goes is going to sort of depend on how we're all feeling after we go about our business of reading reviews from Joanna, or Joanna reading reviews from you. That's it.
These reviews came on Leathery Wings. Don't they describe dragons as sometimes having leathery wings? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Long-time listener, 1 star. Guns64A. The last episode, which was what? What did we talk about last week?
John Wick. Keanu.
Oh, Guns64. Okay.
I know where this is going.
The last episode should be named How to Lose Half Your Listener. I get your political view. I don't need to be punched in the face with it. So I guess we punched that person in the face with...
Guys, which one of you punched that guy? That's terrible.
It was me. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I have not known you to be so violent.
Yes. Well, you know. Okay, and then I will balance that with something that's not a 1-star review, which is a 5-star review from Hate the Books, Love the Show. Love the podcast. Commentary is intelligent, informed, and usually fun/funny. Off-season tour has been the perfect antidote for missing the show. Love all three hosts, though I'm Team Joanna for sure. My one nit to pick, not to sound like your grandmother, but stop talking so fast. I think JR is naturally a fast talker, and DNN have started talking faster to keep up. Yeah, guys, the last couple of podcasts have sounded like they were played on fast forward. Regardless, have a listen. You won't regret it. Feel free to read this review as fast as you possibly can to get off my lawn. I didn't read that last instruction until... the end, so I would have read it in my micro-machine voice if I had.
I like that our last two podcasts have also been our, like, longest two podcasts, and, like, we're apparently also talking fast, so what I'm hearing is double the content, but, you know.
I will say this to our gentle listeners. I can barely tolerate listening to myself talk because I sound way too Californian for even my California taste. So, trust me, I'm my own worst critic. But anyway, a note taken. I will try to slow down a little bit. I can't vouch for what I'll do next time I have tequila in me and podcast, but as I am sober today, I will do my best to slow down.
I wish there was a Sober Promises theme song for just this occasion. Oh, is that it for reviews?
Do you want me to read like 5 more reviews? I don't know.
Oh, no, no. I just good to know that we balanced that out. I always wonder if the 1-star review people actually like retune in to hear us say that they're never going to listen again.
I have a question, though, about that 1-star review before we go along.
Hit it up.
He said how to lose your half of your... Did he say listener or listeners?
He said half your listener.
Oh, so half of him is still also, listening.
Well, but there's also another I think it's just a typo, so... just a typographical error by someone who likes guns, and
it's like one of those more people or fewer people like instances. We actually have fewer people listening to the show according to that review,
or it's like what's the nuclear family? Isn't it like 2.5
less
children?
People fewer, we got the 0.5
fewer people.
Well, no, Dennis. He's saying less people because we lost half of him. Everybody, we're trying to make a grammatical joke that I did not make correctly the first time. So I hope everybody enjoyed me explaining it. Before we move on to Neil with, we talked about this before.
Yes, including some Game of Thrones news. These are the Ravens of the week. One is that Maisie Williams has been filming with wolves in Canada for season 7.
What?
What? I know. Which means...
Nymeria! Sorry. That was very loud.
It's what it could mean. We don't know yet, but Canada is where they film the actual live wolves that are then imposed digitally into the landscapes of Westeros, which is filmed elsewhere. So interesting little note that Maisie Williams has been filming. Who knows? Maybe she, you know, on her way back to Winterfell, meets up with somebody. Or something. Or some dog.
She's just like going deep into character study to be a wolfsbane.
I mean, that's also possible. Other Game of Thrones news is that Funko announced at Toy Fair the new lineup of Game of Thrones things that are coming out. I'm a big fan of the Funko Pop vinyls. I have numerous ones on my desk right now. And I'm very, very excited for all of the Tormund Giantsbane fans to announce that finally there will be a Tormund Giantsbane Funko Pop. I cannot wait to buy one and put it next to my Oberyn Martell Funko Pop and imagine that they are friends, because they would be, obviously.
I thought you were going to put it next to a Brienne one and like make them make lie down kisses or something.
Well, I mean, I have a Brienne one too, but I don't want it to get weird, so...
But he didn't want it to get weird with the Funko toys.
Neil Miller, drawing the line somewhere since 2017.
Look, if they were making lie-down kisses, that would just be too weird, guys.
Too much, yes. Okay, so some non-Game of Thrones stuff that we should talk about. One, I want to get an instant reaction from you guys. It was made known today, this week, whatever, that Simon Kinberg is now the leading candidate to direct the Dark Phoenix movie featuring Sophie Turner, whose birthday is this week. So happy birthday, Sophie Turner. That'll kind of center around her character, Jean Grey. And I'm curious as to, I think last week we talked about this and Dave said that the best way to make this movie is to not make this movie. Does Simon Kinberg making this movie make you feel any different about it?
Simon Kinberg is a probably talented guy, but it seems like he is involved in most of the X-Men movies I don't think should actually be made at some point. Going back to X3 The Last Stand. So if I don't think this is a great choice, but I do think this makes it super likely that this movie's actually happening on schedule that like they've been saying it is. And the weird thing is, if you go back through like the press of the rumor that it's going to be the Dark Phoenix movie and the rumor that they're going to have McAvoy and Patrick Stewart back, all starts with Simon Kinberg. So the fact that he's now like at the front of it means that all those things are probably going to happen now.
And Joanna, I would say that we probably agree, you and I and Dave, that the world needs more female-led superhero movies because there's plenty of awesome female characters. Is Dark Phoenix one that spikes your interest meter?
I'm going to lose our other half of a listener. Certainly, like, not as played by Sophie Turner. I mean, I just didn't... I didn't think her work in Apocalypse was anywhere close to the best work that she's capable of, first of all. Second of all, as Dave pointed out last week, I think it was, we've seen the Dark Phoenix storyline basically twice now, in X-Men Last Stand and in X-Men Apocalypse. So, plus, you know, I got it from my Sunday morning cartoons as a kid. I don't know. I'm pretty tired of that particular story. I mean, I don't want to have a double standard. Like we've seen the Wayne parents die in an alleyway 100,000 times. So like, you know, seeing the Dark Phoenix storyline, what, like 3 or 4 times is not anywhere near the same sort of played out. But sometimes like we complain about seeing the Wayne parents die in an alleyway. I'm with Dave that I'd like to see something new and fresh from the X-Men and not this retread of this particular subset of characters. We will be talking about Logan in the future, but
and probably all of this.
Well, but I'm really excited about, you know, having seen and loved Logan, loving Legion.
Whoa, spoiler alert.
I think I'm allowed to say that. having seen and loved...
Oh, no, the embargo on Logan's up. We're good.
Yeah. Having seen and loved Logan, loving Legion, loving Deadpool, I've been really excited about sort of these more creatively fertile places the X-Men franchise has been going. So a retread is, I think, a big mistake.
All right. And we'll leave it there because we have a whole episode about the X-Men coming soon to your feeds, and we'll talk through all of that. But cool, thanks for giving me y'all's instant reaction. Dave, the first photo from the Han Solo movie, not from the movie itself, but from the set of the young Han Solo movie, was released. Many people that I like are in it. Donald Glover is in it. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who we've talked about in this podcast before, in the photo. We don't know what her character is yet, but, likely a droid. Chewbacca's there. Alden Ehrenreich is there. And Emilia Clarke is there with dark hair and bangs. What does it all mean?
Yeah, Dave.
I mean, what can we get from the photo? It's nice seeing Chewbacca there. It puts, you know, the Chewbacca timeline is one of the few timelines that goes through all three trilogies. So it's always nice to see the bandolier and lack of gray hair in this case. Some places that have gotten used to him having gray hair. The Emilia Clarke hair is most immediately reminiscent of a character cut from the original Star Wars named Jenny. Supposed to have a brief flirtatious scene with Han Solo and then sort of realize that Han Solo didn't remember her name. So I don't think this character is going to be portrayed that way, but in terms of when we see that sort of hair in Star Wars, assuming that hair is styled, that's the Wikipedia answer that I can give to you. And you could look at stills of these people and be like, Dave's not just talking out of his ass, totally talking out of my ass. And we'll figure it out as the movie goes on.
Nice. All right. So we look forward to finding out who... Emilia Clarke is playing.
I mean, wait, Neil, I have a question for you.
Oh,
you
yes. Got
The Last Jedi title so right. Do you want to take a shot at what this Han Solo movie is going to be called?
Oh, Neil's Tredomus.
Do I want to take a shot at the title of the Han Solo movie?
Yep. I give you some options if you want to. You need some priming on your gas there. Obviously, Solo.
Falcon
probably
Crest.
Would happen. Falcon Crest. Yeah, Kessel Run.
New Millennium.
No, I think I honestly think
Willennium. Okay, sorry.
I think that it's they have to go with something super obvious for this, because otherwise they're going to confuse sort of the mainstream audience that isn't following it closely. People were already confused enough about Rogue One. So I think, yeah, I think just Han Solo, A Star Wars Story is what they're going to call it, or just Solo, which also still feels too vague. But I hate to lack creativity.
Yeah. Well, at least they have that theme song from the Star Wars dancing game about how his name is Han Solo. All ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, plenty of stuff. All right, cool. So that's all the pop culture news that we have, but we have some...
Wait, really quickly.
Yes,
missing from that photo was our friend, not a real friend, Tandy Newton. Dave, do you have any thoughts about why Tandy was not in that photo?
Yep. It looks like they have...
She's Snoke.
It looks like they have the good guy set and the Falcon set, and that's where the production starts. That doesn't mean that she's not a good guy. It just means that she's not in the first batch of scenes.
She's the bad guy. That'd be so good.
My friends, over on the Empire Magazine podcast were speculating that she was a villain and that we haven't had a female villain in Star Wars yet. And then that would be kind of cool. And I agree.
It would definitely be cool. And then the nice thing is that I think we could have multiple villains that don't necessarily have to be Imperial Jedi bad. So not only could we have a villain, we could have, like, you know, the Marvel Loki of Star Wars villains that finally kicks it off for the women in a really interesting
way. Some low level Tell That to Kanja Club sort of.
Yeah, what if she's the head of Kanja Club?
Oh, yes, please.
That's the question.
I mean, I think they're Asian, but I'm okay with it.
Well, I'm also not done with Empire's End, so I don't know if they exist in that time period, but Black Sun could be in there, and I'm just geeking out now. We have a whole other podcast on this, I'm sure.
Tell that to Kanja Club. All right.
Many Star Wars podcasts to come. Okay, so we do have some of this show-related news. Our show, Storm of Spoilers, the podcast, a couple of big things. South by Southwest this year. They are going to, for the first year, have a podcast stage where they have programmed, I believe it is 40-some podcasts to run throughout the week. And Storm of Spoilers has been accepted / invited.
What? Oh, I gotta go to Texas.
To a live show at South by Southwest. And so we're very excited to announce that we will be doing a live show, live record at South by here in Austin, Texas. And we are going to be there on Sunday, March 12th at 12:30 p.m. at the podcast stage, which is in the Brazos room at the JW Marriott. We will, of course, remind you of this every week until we get to that. But very exciting. For the first time ever, we are all going to be together to record.
It's going to be so weird.
It's probably going to get a little weird.
It's going to be bad podcasting because we're just going to start with 20 minutes of looking at each other.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Neil and I have spent a goodly amount of time in each other's company. So if there's any sort of weirdness, Dave, it's going to come from you.
No,
so
I'm totally like the Yoda.
So try to put a cork on your weird,
in this
man.
Situation where I'm just like, oh,
put a cork on your weird.
And then, so if you are around Austin, if you're going to South by Southwest, we would love to see you there. Again, we will remind you at this point, just know that we will be there the first weekend of South by in what I see as a prime slot, because it's not really up against anything, you know, we're not up against like a Zuckerberg or something. So, pretty great. Pretty exciting.
Man, it'd be great to go up against Zuckerberg, though, because then we could just slag off Zuckerberg the whole time.
It would be our social network episode.
That's like when when I went to Comic-Con 2 years ago, my first Comic-Con, and J.J. Abrams led like the entire Hall H out to a free Star Wars concert, completely emptying the hall for Kevin Smith's panel that came out. And I think Kevin Smith just, like, yelled about Star Wars for once.
Yeah, yeah. No, history shows that you made the correct choice.
Yep. In that another thing that we are still sort of working on is what we're going to cover in that first live show ever. You know, we haven't really decided whether it's going to be totally Game of Thrones centric or maybe a sort of pseudo mailbag episode or about a certain thing. So we're working on it. If you have, we're working on it. If you have ideas, suggestions, what we should talk about during our live show, email those to us, stormofspoilers@gmail.com, and help us be inspired. We will, even if you guys don't send us in stuff, we will figure out something to talk about. So that's pretty great. You'll also notice, if you follow us on Twitter at stormofspoilers, that we have a new logo. It's very, someone said on Twitter today, it's very thought bubbly, but also stormy. We just wanted to send a shout out to our guy, Wiki Rascals, who is fantastic and has created an awesome little off-season logo for us. And finally, before we talk about dragons, do make sure that you go and fill out the survey, still ongoing, the entire month of February, the Wondery survey, wondery.com/survey, to ensure that your tastes are documented so that we can help. It'll help us get match up great advertisers with our show, and also the more people that fill it out, the better we look against the other podcasts.
I want to say a couple honest things about this survey. Are we ready?
Yes. Did you take it?
Neil, you can make Dave edit this out if you don't like me. Number one is that I'm going to be honest with you guys. It's a little long. It's not like super duper short. So it's not hugely long. I'm just saying, if you filled out like Trump's media survey this week, it's maybe a little longer than that. The other thing is like a couple of our female listeners sort of gave me feedback on the fact that the survey asked them a lot of questions about men care products, which I think a lot of our commercials do skew masculine. But the whole point of a survey like this is to maybe get a better sense of who our listeners are. So for all you ladies out there who don't want the sagey freshness of men's Dove care, maybe you do. I'm not here to judge. This is a way for us to get some, I don't know, whatever lady products maybe, in the mix as well. So
yeah, they think you're dudes. This is the way to tell them that you're not dudes.
Exactly.
Wondery.com/survey.
There you go.
Right. And we heard this week that so far this month, we're close, but we are currently losing.
No.
To, yes. To Star Wars Minutes.
You sons of bitches.
Star Wars Minute is a good podcast, but I take it back. It's not a long survey. And you will feel like
it's for everyone.
You will feel like sunshine and puppies and rainbows after you take it. And what's really important is that we beat Star Wars Minute. So
yeah, right. You will go faster through the survey than it takes them to go through a minute of Star Wars episode.
There you go.
Cool. All right, that's all I have for my section. It's
awesome.
It's dragon time.
All right, guys. So in the world of Storm of Spoilers planning, we were like, hey, maybe this Great Wall movie with Matt Damon would be an interesting thing to talk about, because maybe it's going to be bad good, not just bad bad. Then all of a sudden, they actually let people see it. I got to talk to some of those people. I got the idea it was going to be bad bad. So I'm going to bite the bullet here and say that I definitely did not do my homework and see the Great Wall to see if it was about dragons like we said it was going to be, because it just seemed like I had better things to do with my time. I read two whole books this weekend. It was, I think, a much better use of my time.
What books did
They were both Star Wars books, as Aftermath, Empire's End, came out today. And boy, Dave needs to be up to date on what happened between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. But don't distract me. There aren't any dragons in there. Well, actually, there's a Kyat dragon. They get a pearl from in his stomach, and it kind of helps the guy who took over Boba Fett's armor after Return of the Jedi, but only like halfway through the book, so I feel like I shouldn't bring that up. Guys, did anybody else happen to see Great Wall, which from all indications is a train wreck?
I did not, but I'm going to read this article, this CNET article from one Richard Trenholm, just the first two paragraphs. starts, I'm pretty sure we were promised dragons. New movie, The Great Wall, is based around the notion that China's famous fortification was created to keep out horrifying creatures. The trailer's flashes of scaly claws and snapping jaws, snatching soldiers from the battlements, suggested, to me at least, dragons. Spoiler alert, there are no dragons. Instead, what? A herd of slavering CGI hell dogs come bounding over the horizon to snap at Matt Damon and chums. It's a bit of a disappointment, which turns out to be the recurring theme of the movie. Now listen, I've read some reviews that were positive about The Great Wall, but the point is there are no dragons in it. So our whole, well, the theme of this episode was supposed to be pegged to The Great Wall and dragons. We're still going to talk about dragons, but none of us have seen The Great Wall. So.
Yep.
Well, good, no, I guess.
That I went and saw a movie that will come in when we do a different episode. So. That one didn't have dragons either.
For sure. So in terms of dragons in general, I started off last week kind of probing the idea that I've begun to bisect it in my mind between like a European dragon, which is a monster, or at least it became in literature and mythology what would evolve into the monster, standing from like the part of the hero's journey and like your Gilgamesh's and your Beowulf's, to like actually going into the like the there be dragons here cartography, just subbing in for a menacing unknown. Whereas on the eastern side, where we used to talk about things like Avatar the Last Airbender with Joanna Robinson, the dragons have a whole different, more spiritual, nature-based presence. And then sort of all together, pop culture takes these things and like shakes them up and like somehow spits out Eddie Murphy, Mulan dragon, and Smaug, CGI, J.R.R. Tolkien, Peter Jackson version. And they're equally dragon, which, I don't know. What to you guys, what was the first time you came across an identifiable dragon? Let's start with Neil, since I asked Joanna the last question first.
I guess it would have to be, I know I mentioned this in the opening, but The Neverending Story really was the first, at least live action, because this was mid-80s. And I think, and it's interesting that you mentioned the two different types of dragons, essentially, because when I think of the European dragon, I do think more of like the dragons from Reign of Fire or the Lord of the Rings, or even like going back to like Willow.
Yeah.
Where there's the two-headed dragon in Willow. And so that feels like, you know, the dragon that must be slain, the sort of evil, not necessarily evil, but like the dragon that is protecting the princess and is animalistic.
I never thought of that thing as a dragon.
The two-headed dragon
from Willow. Well, no, you're like the two-headed dragon from Willow, and I'm like, there's fucking two-headed dragon in Willow. Then I just Googled dragon Willow, and I'm like, oh, that thing. I never thought of it as a dragon.
It's definitely not the traditional shape of a dragon, but I think that's
it comes from those like ape things that get shot and then fall in the moat, and then there's bubbling, and then this thing emerges, right?
Oh yeah, the life cycle of that thing traumatizes.
Yeah, that's really upsetting. Okay.
So you would have that stuff, but then also during that same sort of period, you had the very Asian Eastern dragon stuff, which is the more they're like dogs. So you have Falcor from The Neverending Story, and you have Pete's dragon from the animated Pete's Dragon. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting to me that having grown up, they did feel like two completely different things. And I think it wasn't till later when I started to see, there's really wasn't a mix until I saw like some of the old Ray Harryhausen, dragons. Yeah. What do they call it? Taro? What movie was that where the Cyclops fights the dragon?
Was that
Sinbad? No.
Seven Voyages? That was going to be my guess.
Anyway, there's one where the monster guy fights the other monster. No, it's Sinbad. The Cyclops fights the dragon.
Joanna get points.
Yes, good job, guys. That was the first time I think I ever saw the almost Asian-inspired visual of a dragon, but also it was mean, because I really did associate the more dog-like Chinese-ish dragon style as being a friendly dragon.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I was thinking about it, and I thought I'd sourced my earliest thing, and then I realized it's not my earliest thing. My earliest thing is not a friendly dragon. It is the dragon that Maleficent turns into at the end of Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty was, like, my favorite movie as a kid. So, that dragon, which breathes fire and has horns and is amazing.
That dragon, which is a miracle of cartoon design that stands to this day as iconic green and black.
Yeah, I mean...
And angles.
The artistry on Sleeping Beauty. Looking back, I feel good about it. Like, I don't judge myself well on the story of Sleeping Beauty, but the design of Sleeping Beauty is sort of undeniable.
It makes perfect sense. One person kisses you and then you're happy forever after. I don't get what's wrong with that. And it's the prince. What if it was just like any dude kissing her, right?
Well, yeah, it has to be the prince. Them's the rules.
Well, she says it's true love, but I don't know if singing in the forest means you're in love, so it might just be like the first person that actually gets past the dragon. All I'm saying is, in terms of textually in the movie, we don't know how... I'm sorry, Joanna, this joke has gone out and you're not responding, which is making me feel bad.
Hello?
Oh, God, we actually lost her.
Oh, that was the best one yet.
What did you say? What did I miss?
Nothing. We'll probably just keep all of it in and you could listen to the episode. I thought I had really offended you by dissecting the plot of Sleeping Beauty. Good to know.
No, I
good
mean,
to know you just cut out.
It's a garbage story. yeah, sorry. I'm on hotel Wi-Fi, guys. Sorry. The other thing is something, and also if you hear thumping in the background, that's because whoever's staying in the room next to me just arrived, so they appear to be like heaving their suitcases against the wall. Or doing something else. The Enchanted Forest Chronicles, I can't sort of overstate how many times I read those books, and that's like the opposite of Sleeping Beauty, where it's like this cool, smart heroine who goes to, like, she's a princess and she doesn't want to be a princess, and she's like, F all this princess stuff, so she just runs away into the forest and becomes the chief cook and librarian for the King of the Dragons. And is just, you know, the books are called Talking with Dragons, Dealing with Dragons, Calling on Dragons. Well, it's great, great dragon tales. My Father's Dragon is another great dragon book from my youth. Yeah, so I don't know, kid stuff. And it's so funny because I was about to be like, oh yeah, and then The Land Before Time. And I was like, wait, no, those are dinosaurs. Littlefoot was a dinosaur, not
dragon. Well, I mean, I think the fascination between, because I definitely strayed away from, I guess, the talking dragon in my youth, like straight to like the kaiju dragon around the same time that I was into, Jurassic Park and Godzilla and things that are apparently making police sirens come for me right now. But I think that the whole reason I brought up the Conan the Barbarian dragon at the beginning is because a lot of my dragon memories are happening across sculptures or animatronics or representations of dragons where I could physically see the size of them. And that at least like left a great impression on me, to the point that when I actually did get back to reading things like The Hobbit, and I was like slightly older, the idea of an intelligent dragon had sort of, I had forgotten it somewhere in my brain. They were like creatures of evilness. So essentially the reverse of what happened to Neil, because I was a late comer to the Neverending Story movies, unfortunately. I was completely aggressive dragon for a long time. And then I think Sean Connery might have brought me out of that slightly.
We can't not talk about Dragonheart.
By all means, Neil, what's to love about Dragonheart?
Wait, that's a silly question. What's not to love about Dragonheart? It's a dragon. that hangs out with Dennis Quaid.
And as the voice of Sean Connery.
As the voice of Sean Connery. I'm going to be honest.
The end. that's all you need to know.
Yeah, that's about the gist of what I remember from Dragonheart. Also that it had a terrible sequel. But I think that was during... What year did that come out, Dragonheart? It was during sort of the... Sean Connery, like the peak Sean Connery.
Like Entrapment?
96.
So, yeah, so right around The Rock and right before Entrapment, and it was just like, it was one of those, like, you know how like Jack Black got popular and then they're like, let's do Kung Fu Panda. We'll just start putting Jack Black into other things. But this is like the Sean Connery is super popular right now. What can we put Sean Connery in where it's easy? You know, it's voice work, but we can just sell it on Sean Connery's in this movie. And they picked a dragon, Rob Cohen, yep. The director of the first Fast and Furious movie, if I remember correctly, right? No, The Mummy? Oh, yes, The Fast and the Furious. He created The Fast and the Furious. He did XXX. He did The Mummy. And he did Dragonheart. I don't think he gets enough credit for his fantasy work. I feel like now everybody just remembers him as the guy who did The Fast and Furious. But he doesn't get as much credit for Dragonheart and that other movie that I mentioned, The Mummy. The Mummy was okay.
I think we're off the dragon path, which is to say,
yeah.
I have a question for you guys. Do you, a dragon like lore thing that was very popular that just completely never worked for me was Aragorn. Neither the books nor the movie did anything whatsoever. Did they land with you guys?
No, I wish. I remember getting like a few chapters in the first one and being like, ugh. And then I think I was also like, overhyped because it was published as like the next big thing.
Yeah.
And then I like dipped my toe in the next big thing and was like, not this thing, Dave.
Well, and also wasn't that God, what else was out during that? There was other, because I never read the books, but I saw the movie. But there were other fantasy, I mean, it was sort of in the heyday of Harry Potter. But also What else was out?
2006.
So it would have been. There was another like YA fantasy movie besides Harry Potter. Why can't I remember?
2006. Would it be Hunger Games?
No. Oh, Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh shit!
It was a Chronicles of Narnia knockoff. In a lot of ways. At least that's what I probably accused it of at the time.
Perceived it as?
Yeah, because it was 2005. It was Chronicles of Narnia. The first one came out in 2005. And then we had Aragorn. And we had that other one, the Golden Compass, that came out a little bit later.
How dare you, the other one? How dare you?
Well, movie-wise.
Movie-wise, he's not wrong.
How right. dare you? Golden Compass is a better movie than anyone gives it credit for.
But it went to this, it went to Hollywood, you know, doing the gold rush, just as we've just gone through the Twilight to Hunger Games to the one with Shailene Woodley. I can't remember the name.
Divergence,
yes. It was during this era where you had, you know, Harry Potter, and then you had Narnia, and then you had the Golden Compass, and then Aragorn was like this weird false start in the middle, and the movie wasn't good. I think that was the ultimate problem. But yeah, no, I mean, I remember going to see that movie and thinking, man, it's been a little while since we have had a good dragon movie, because for me at least, you know, you had Dragonheart in the 90s, I had, you know, Pete's Dragon and Neverending Story. But then in the 90s, you had like Dragonheart. When was Reign of Fire? Reign of Fire was right at the end.
Yeah, I think that's
really
odd. That was
2002, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Right. So Reign of Fire was kind of the bookend of like decent dragon movies. And even then, it was, you know, it's a little weird. But then for a number of years, for about, you know, 4 or 5 years, there was just nothing. Like dragons were out and like volcanoes were in, or what else was in during those years?
No, well, pretty much volcanoes. I remember a lot of volcanoes.
So, you know, when it came to what is the threat to humanity in these big movies, it was like nature, not dragons. And Aragorn was a false start. I don't think we got a good dragon movie until what? Lord of the Rings?
How to Train Your Dragon?
Yeah, How to Train Your Dragon. But like live action, mean dragon.
Quote unquote live action.
What was that? Is the Korean movie Dragon War? D-War? South Korean D-War.
That was terrible.
Yeah, D-War was good just because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I have watched like 31 Godzilla movies in the past 6 months, so I might be a little tinged on what makes good giant monster things.
But D-War was 2007. So there was this...
there's a gap.
You know, there was a concerted effort to bring dragons back in that mid-2000s. But it didn't take until, you know, really, I think it was kind of a slow burn. It came back with Lord of the Rings. Then there was the family film stuff with How to Train Your Dragon. And then Game of Thrones, I think, really could be credited with bringing dragons back. Yes.
I want to give a shout out to a kind of dragon that we very rarely see, but I know from two book series. And... you talk about dog-like dragons, and I guess Falcor, or I was thinking of those as like lion-esque, because that's what they look like. It's sort of like the Chinese New Year parade. Those dragons are very lion-like. But in terms of dog dragons, there's a book by I'm gonna get her name wrong. It's called The Hero and the Crown by Rob McKinley. Thank you. Brain. And in it, I brought up a lot of really good books about cool ladies. this princess who doesn't want to be a princess discovers like how this, you know, formula for dragon proofing ointment that she smears herself with, and she goes around ridding the countryside of the scourge of dragons, and anonymously, and it's very cool. And but there are these big dragons. There's a few big dragons, but mostly there are these like mean little squat lizard dragons, which like is sort of where the dragon mythology came from, is I think the Komodo dragon sort of stuff. And so you've got these like, yeah, these little like lizardy who like belch fire sort of dragons. And then Patrick Rothfuss used that kind of dragon again in The Name of the Wind, where this dragon shows up and it's just like, it's still big and still breathes fire and it's still dangerous, but it's like this squat like lizard thing. And I always think that's kind of fun to sort of take the, you know, and how to Train Your Dragon does this as well. Take the image that we have of that like Maleficent dragon or Smaug or whatever, and sort of find
Smaug
and find different ways to render that kind of monster. Yeah. So that's really fun. And I'm very curious, like how, if I had done more homework for this podcast, I might have some more information for you on, like, I don't know, the psychology of dragon, like how it is that dragons became this sort of like big, interesting monster in our films and literature and TV, and, you know, what the psychology of that is, like why dragons, you know, why dragons over like chimeras or any number of other sort of options that we had to become the emergent mythological menace.
Okay. We're gonna go for Dave thinks he remembers reading something. Give this a shot. So originally mythical creature, all those mythical creatures that you mentioned would have been like grouped under dragon, but at some point as mammals, we decided to other them by making them serpentine and lizard-like. Mm-hmm. And then that's also how we split and get, like, the evil serpent of Christian mythology that, you know, gives the thing to Adam and Eve, is as primates are natural enemies of otherness, would be giant lizards.
Okay. I like that. It also makes me think of, like, the lamia from, like, older medieval literature. The lamia was just, like, sort of this, like, this snake woman creature. You know, and there's also, of course, like, hydras and other things that are very similar to dragons. I think that's really interesting, Dave, and I think it's, you know, those of us who grew up on mythology, it is interesting to think about these other potential beasts that did not win the ultimate battle royale of what will be our nightmare creature forever. So,
speaking of other weird things, I wanted to bring this up before we got too far out.
Yeah,
do you guys know that there's a Dragonheart like prequel coming out this year? Like, they've still been making Dragonheart movies.
Are they?
Dragonheart Battle for the Heartfire is currently slated for a June 2017 release.
What?
Wow.
Who's in it?
I don't have an idea. It does not even have a Wikipedia page at this moment. But yeah, apparently there's been Dragonheart A New Beginning was released in 2000. And then Dragonheart 3 The Sorcerer's Curse was released in 2015.
What?
And we're coming up on Dragonheart Battle of the Heartfire.
Dragonheart 4 in 2017.
It's happening. That's what this episode's really in.
This
in
is a preview of Dragonheart 4.
Well, it's interesting, too, that I think dragons are very versatile creatures. Like, I think we see them a lot in... I don't know how they got into the mythology, how they got into Tolkien and the Disney fairy tales, but they seem to get into these stories in different ways. You know, whether it's because I think now I need to preface this by saying that I know very little about actual Chinese mythology, so this could go poorly.
You guys, this is the best podcast we've ever done. We did a lot of research.
But I believe
we're well prepared. Our topic is coherent and focused. Okay, go ahead.
But if you think about it, you know, we talk about the difference between European and basically Western and Eastern dragons. Is the Western dragons are more of the threat, whereas there's a mythological thing to the Eastern dragons where it's more about protection, and they are like a force of good. And even in like the Disney movies, like Sleeping Beauty, the dragon isn't really the bad guy so much as an obstacle. You know, and that I feel like that is always, there's a versatility to the dragon that I don't know if you get with, you know, a chimera or some other mythical creature. Maybe Cyclops, but probably not.
I don't know if you want like a Cyclops being your water god. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
So I think that's the reason that dragons have been so enduring is that they exist sort of in both places. And we can see them as good things or bad things. And it really does kind of depend on when you first met them.
Yeah, or then if you're treating them as like if you're treating them as like an animal or like a sentient person. Like, for instance, Reign of Fire goes out of its way to basically also be about how dragons work. They're like, you know, oh yeah, it's a movie about Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey and like a post-dragon world, but there's like whole scenes where they discuss the two chemicals that like meet and do the thing from the glands. And how that they have to find like the one male that then fertilizes all the eggs from all the females. And so that's definitely a monster animal sort of way of looking at things. Whereas, you know, your never ending stories or even just your god, if it has to be a god of something, there's a greater sentience, a greater than human sentience, not an animal sentience behind it, which I think is also what you see in the Smaugs. Where, you know, I guess it's like greater than human sentience, but has human vanity because he's been dealing with human gold, which, you know, we made, I guess we made Smaug. Damn. Still find new things in that book.
You guys, I've fallen down, I've fallen down a rabbit hole that is the Dragonheart Facebook page.
And it's been secretly disrupting this podcast for minutes.
Maybe. It's not disrupting. It's very active.
Is it?
And yeah, and well, I don't know about very, but like it's more active than I ever dreamed it could be. And like the fact that these other movies actually exist and that they're and that like someone is writing Facebook posts about them as if like the character names are supposed to mean anything to us.
Give us an example of what you're reading there.
Tom Rhys-Harries stars as the Brawny Edric in Dragonheart 4, and there's a photo of him. Or there's one hold on, I have to find it. There's one about like how to go on a perfect medieval date. Pegged to Dragonheart 3. Yeah, Dragonheart 3. How to have the perfect medieval date night. The prequel to the 1996 fantasy adventure Dragonheart. Best known as what? Starring Zoe Deschanel's British boyfriend from New Girl? Like, you guys, this is the lowest of the low. I didn't know it got like this. Okay, this is the last thing I'll say, which is...
We're going to lose like a quarter listener
This. Julian Morris's Gareth must follow the old code if you wish to save Britannia from Brood's evil reign. Hashtag Dragonheart. Like, what do any of those words mean? And then there's like a diagram of this guy, and it's like pointing to his arm, and it says, his might upholds the weak. And then it points to his mouth, and it says, his words speak only truth. And then to his sword, his wrath undoes the wicked. Like, what actually is this, guys? Okay, I'm sorry.
Guys, I think we've been missing out on the Dragonheart expanded universe.
I guess so. The DHEU, man.
God, what is happening
I was instructed by a listener to make sure that I brought up that I have seen the Dungeons & Dragons movie while we're talking about movies that have turned into series, but you can't understand why because it was maybe a passable movie in the first place. In the year 2000, New Line released a movie called Dungeons and Dragons. This was the year before they released The Fellowship of the Ring. You will not believe it. It is absolutely horrible, but one of those, like, in the best way horrible. There's a Wayans brother in it.
Yeah, I've heard.
As a thief.
I've listened to the How Did This Get Made about this movie.
Yeah, it's great. There are two sequels to it, a 2005 sequel and a 2012 sequel. But they focus on like one of the bad characters who was cursed in the first movie and is like cursed to wander the earth. So they take place like, I think the second one is like 100 years after the first one. Anyway, I tried to track the mythology, guys. It's not there. It does adhere to basically only the dragons part of the Dungeons and Dragons mythology, which is that there are different kinds and some of them can be good and some of them could be bad. So, but I don't know. If you wanna have some fun and see Jeremy Irons go to 11 while Thora Birch attempts to go to 0.5.
Wait, Jeremy Irons
at the exact same time.
Jeremy Irons is in the Dungeons and Dragons movie and in Aragorn.
Apparently there was a needed a paycheck time period that we were blissfully unaware
Jeremy
of.
Jeremy Irons
time.
Is like, my Oscar will not pay for a yacht, my friend.
Well, the good thing that you see when you're watching this movie is if you pay his salary for him to show up, he shows up, even if he's spouting nonsense. So, good investment.
Bang
guys,
for your buck,
Jeremy Irons. Yeah. I have a few updates over here from the Dragonheart Facebook page.
What do you have?
A couple of things that I learned. One, Ben Kingsley is voicing Drago voiced him in Dragonheart 3. I don't know if he's going to be in Dragonheart 4. We'll have to reach out to Ben Kingsley's people. Also, in Dragonheart 3, there is a very Ygritte-like character.
She's got like face tattoos and braids and everything.
With face, yeah. I mean, here's what I will commit to. I will commit that I am going to, at some point, watch all of these movies. and explore the Dragonheart expanded
the mythology
universe.
Of Dragonheart.
Challenge accepted is what I'm saying, because oh my god, this is fantastic.
Yeah. This is like, well, maybe we should do this in Austin. Like this feels like the kind of stuff that I definitely watched with my friends in middle school. Like this is like Highlander, Xena, like hitting all those things for me. Another dragon property that I want to bring up before we finish is the Dragonlance books. Did you guys read those?
No.
Okay, so these were like Dungeons and Dragons adjacent books, I think. I just like, you know, back when like children used to just browse bookstores and pull books off shelves and read them, I just came across them in like the sci-fi fantasy section of a bookstore. And like the first ones are called like Dragons of Autumn Twilight and Dragons of Winter Dawn or whatever. And it's like basically a D&D campaign, except I had no idea what D&D was when I read them. But there's like, you know, a mage and a ranger and like all sort of stuff. And they're good books. And what's been really fun in my life is meeting people and discovering that they too read all the Dragonlance books. Like this was a thing. It wasn't just me. That's less about dragons, even though dragons are in the title, than it is about like how integral the Dungeons and Dragons and all its various offshoots were, you know, this crappy movie that Dave talks about aside, to the formation of like a legions of nerds and geeks and you know, our people. So
for sure. I also want to throw in, while we're talking about origins of nerds and geekery and dragons, the 1981 movie Dragon Slayer is seminal, at least for me, in the special effects of making awesome dragons. It was a ILM Phil Tippett dragon, so he was doing it while it was post Empire Strikes Back go motion, which is one of the few times that was used. That was the technique that bridges stop motion and what you see in Jurassic Park, so much that Phil Tippett is the guy that actually did that go motion technology. So it's probably one of the best non like CGI, like no, absolutely no computer practical effect dragons, either in miniature or stop motion, that will ever appear on screen, because who's going to take the time to do that anymore? Unless it's, I don't know. I could see at some point somebody getting a lot of money, like an eccentric filmmaker, to do a all, you know, practical effects monster movie, but I think we're still like maybe a decade out from that.
Or like if
if
Leica did one.
That'd be
sweet. I'm not gonna promise you that it looks good, like, because I actually watched Dragon Slayer this last year. I'm not gonna promise you, dear listeners, that if you watch Dragon Slayer, you're gonna be like, wow, that's a good looking dragon. But
for 1981, that was the best looking dragon.
You'll be delighted by Peter McNichol of Ally McBeal fame, or whatever the kids know him from these days, Ghostbusters 2 fame.
yeah, probably Ghostbusters 2.
As our young, fresh-faced dragon slayer. So it's such a weird, like, casting Peter McNichol in that role is just, I would like to meet that casting agent. Very interesting.
Oh yeah, the movie's weird, but I always remember looking at that dragon being like, that's a dragon, that's what cinematic
that's
dragons
dragon.
Look like.
So yeah, if we've missed any like important dragons of the 80s, 90s and aughts, obviously we're a little too old to have been impacted by How to Train Your Dragon the way that like a lot of kids, you know, like I know kids just ate up those books and love the films, but like, and the TV series on Netflix, But those books were just like huge for them. So I didn't, you know, I missed those. I was too old for those. But yeah, and if you read Dragonlance or the Enchanted Forest Chronicles or The Hero in the Crown or any of these other cool dragon books that I read growing up, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know, because I'm down to talk about those always.
Nice.
I feel like at the end of this, we're going to come to the perception that we're in a good dragon time period, right? Just like in pop culture, the oscillation.
I don't think we're in a plentiful dragon time, but we are in a quality dragon time.
I guess
thanks to Game of Thrones.
I like quality. I was more saying in like good versus evil,
because
like we're
Daenerys
more towards
are
seeing
good.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially with the comeback of Pete's Dragon last year, and then of course the Dragonheart Expanded Universe. Yeah. Which also I want to mention, because you brought up Phil Tippett, and Phil Tippett's one of my all-time favorite just people, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to go from Dragon Slayer to Dragonheart, because Jurassic Park happened in between, and Phil Tippett did both Dragon Slayer and Dragonheart. So you can see the evolution of him creating dragons from the practical to CG era within a matter of a few years, which I think is really fascinating if you're studying.
And I want to get a specific nitpick about that. Mm. I'm almost positive it was not his idea, because it wouldn't be in terms of like animation workflow. But the only problem I have with Dragonheart is that they gave that dragon a bottom lip in his design. And why would a dragon have a bottom lip?
to chaw tobacco?
To be able to talk?
I don't know.
To put
his lips together and blow?
Fire. That's a fantasy. It's a fantasy creature. Doesn't need to have a bottom lip.
Maybe he needs to whistle. Who knows?
Maybe he needs to whistle.
Okay, I have two more dragon things before we wrap this up. One is, we did get one question from listeners about dragons. I don't know if people knew that they were supposed to send them in or not, or maybe they just didn't have them. But we did get one from Ian, and he wanted to know, is there any news on the long-awaited Turner Rare films? I don't know what that means. Temeraire? Yes, Temeraire. That Peter Jackson optioned. Apparently it is, as Ian describes, like the Napoleonic Wars with a dragon air force. I looked this up because I really honestly had no idea. And the last time Peter Jackson really even mentioned it was in 2009. And he really just sort of saw it as being too expensive and probably... you know, not as lucrative as something like Game of Thrones, which came shortly after, right? Game of Thrones was right after, right around 2009.
Well, definitely, it definitely came around fast enough that it was able to squash out a lot of dragon properties.
So I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. Sorry. Then, okay, so last dragon thing. What are your top three dragon movies of all time? Like, favorite, if you had to pick three dragon movies, those are the only three you could ever watch again.
Like, man, is Willow a freaking dragon movie now, all of a sudden?
I mean, it can be. And there are many to choose from, and we will start with Joanna.
Oh, will we? Okay. Yeah, that Dragonheart dragon is kind of goofy with that lip. You know what the Dragonheart dragon looks like? It looks like, you know, that ABC TV show Dinosaurs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It does look like a dinosaur's dinosaur. It's like, bottom lip. It's a bad design decision.
Okay. I guess I would have to go with...
Oh, shit. Okay. Never mind. Go ahead. Have a good answer.
Okay.
It's better than yours.
Thanks. I'm not having enough heart. Okay, Dragonheart number three. What was my number two going to be? Dragonheart number three, Reign of Fire number two, Sleeping Beauty number one. Yeah.
All right, Dave.
Reign of Fire number one, Spirited Away number two.
Ooh, nice.
And then I'm also going to take Sleeping Beauty number three, because Joanna basically actually did have the better answers.
I am going Spirited Away number three, which we didn't really talk about at length, but I mean, come on, guys. It's a Miyazaki movie. Obviously, it's great. Neverending Story number two.
See, I don't think of Falcor as a dragon. Okay, he's a dragon. I'm not gonna argue dragons with you. You define your own dragon. It's fine.
And then you have to figure out how to train him. And then Reign of Fire number one. There's a part of me that loves post-apocalyptic anything, which is why I was all in on stuff like Mad Max. But post-apocalypse dragon movies, if they want to make a Reign of Fire expanded universe a la Dragonheart, I'm in for it. I will follow it on Facebook. I will post about it. I will cover it to the end of the earth.
Who? Okay, here's my question. Well, first of all, I'm going to cheat and go back and redo mine and say I'm bumping Dragonheart for Pete's Dragon, the new Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, that was the toughest one for me. That would be the toughest cut in my book.
For now, but pending me enjoying the entire Dragonheart extended universe, I might bump right. Dragonheart back on the list. if we were to get Reign of Fire 2 still reigning, or whatever it would be called, who would you cast as your like budget sequel? Christian Bale and like who would you have as your knockoff stars in Reign of Fire? Because obviously like the original guys are not coming back. So McConaughey and Bale, who are you going to get instead?
Well, I think Gerard Butler would come back.
That's true.
For two reasons. One, does that character even die in the first one? I don't remember. If he did, he's got a twin. It'll be like pretty much every movie where they say, oh, he had a twin, though. And I'm pretty sure you could get Gerard Butler for this. Who else would I want?
Like, would we...
I feel like...
Wyatt Russell? Is Wyatt Russell a suitable budget McConaughey?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And I would ultimately replace Christian Bale, and this is gonna show how much I've been thinking about Kong Skull Island with a Tom Hiddleston or a Samuel L. Jackson.
You're not gonna
because
get
Sam
a,
Jackson
you're not
will
get
show
Hiddleston
up.
Hiddleston for Reign of Fire 2, my
Why
friend.
Why not? Why not? He did the King Kong movie.
Yeah, but that was for like buckets of money.
That's in a franchise. That's gonna be a franchise.
Reign of Fire is already a franchise.
That's a good point. I would put Logan Marshall Green doing his best Tom Hardy impression at the front of that movie.
Yes, you are right.
Could we get like a low rent Hemsworth for this?
Luke?
We could get Jai Courtney.
Ooh.
We could get a Jai Courtney.
Or I almost think it's beneath him now after Logan, but what about a Boyd Holbrook, perhaps?
Yeah, Boyd Holbrook
or
could
Garrett
do it.
Garrett Hedlund. Slap a beard.
Or,
slap a beard on any of these guys, and they'll do just fine.
Hold on. I'll get it. It's coming to me. Or a Ben Foster. Like, that would give it some clout.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
I feel like Ben would have to be in, like, a lot of gambling debts. Like he would have,
well,
Ben would have to be get like trying to get back the family homestead for his brother.
What I want is I want 30 Days of Night Ben Foster back.
I want 310 to Yuma Ben Foster.
Do you think they could get him to do Reign of Fire 2 if they let him out of Warcraft 2?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, I forgot. You're right. Who am I to think that Ben Foster's above this when he did Warcraft? You're right. That's too funny.
He's one of those people like Jeremy Irons who really committed, though, to what he was doing. So,
yeah.
Reign of Fire, too.
Okay, so
hey, man.
The point, dear listeners,
gotta throw down.
If you're still listening to this, is that we need to start a petition for Ben Foster's Reign of Fire 2 still reigning. I would be there opening day.
Oh, we're so in for that. Because I think the other thing, as we part with Dragons, is beyond Game of Thrones. I think Game of Thrones is probably going to give us, it has the potential to give us the greatest dragon action ever. But beyond that, there's not a whole lot. We're really hitching our ride now to the newly discovered Dragonheart expanded universe. There's not a whole lot else out there. On the horizon with dragons. So we really do need them to bring back Reign of Fire, is what I'm saying.
Yep. Or just have another surprise dragon movie like Great Wall, except actually put dragons in it.
Yeah, why not? And people love dragons. Dragons are awesome.
For sure. Well, guys, that was Dragons in our own little dragon pit. We managed to go a whole episode without talking about Game of Thrones dragons, but luckily for you, we have two whole seasons of Game of Thrones that we'll undoubtedly be talking about that. So, Neil, what do we have on our slate for our next episode?
Ooh, do we have a surprise? Later this week, No, not next week, but later this week, we are going to be back in your feeds with another episode, a special one-off episode of, we're going to do a Batman episode because it's time. It's time to do a Batman episode. We've all seen the Lego Batman movie. We all love Batman.
And you know what? I realized last night when I was doing research for this episode, all the Batman films are on HBO Go, HBO Now, your HBO right now, even bad animated ones.
So you should catch up on some Batman. You should see the Lego Batman movie if you'd like to experience it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to rank some of the Batman things that are out there, and it's going to be pretty great. So stay tuned for that. And then next week, we're doing a big X-Men episode. So lots of superheroes in our future. And then, of course, the live show at South by Southwest. So pretty great.
Ba-na-na-na-na. Excellent. Until then, where could people find you online? Hotel Banjo Anna Robinson.
You can find me at the Standard Hotel in West Hollywood. Just kidding. By the time you hear this, I'll be gone. But you can't stalk me. Why would you want to? You can read me on VanityFair.com. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Wrote This. We are doing Countdown to the Oscars, a new episode of Little Gold Men every single day between Monday and the Oscars. So check it out.
And Mr. Neil Miller?
You can get me on the Twitter at Rejects. You can follow me over at filmschoolrejects.com where I'll be writing stuff. Also, don't forget to take our survey, wondery.com/survey. And I have a cool little announcement. If you are interested in the future of me podcasting, you can now follow an account called One Perfect Pod. It's at One Perfect Pod. And that's all I'm going to say for now is just go and follow it because it'll have me in it.
Watch that spot.
Yep.
Sold. I was wondering why that account followed me today. Now I know. I'm Dave Gonzalez. You can follow me on Twitter at DA7E. You can also find my podcasts at fightinginthewarroom.com. Working on some other stuff. I don't know. It'll come out. It probably won't have my name very visibly on it. You won't know it's me, but you'll enjoy it, goddammit. So until next week... No, that's Super Mario Brothers, Batman. Bum, bum, bum. Dun, 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 dun. See you. That's good too.